You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, and we go straight to Phoenix, Arizona for our, what we missed last night, normally Monday night, Metals Report. Good evening, Gene.
Good evening.
How's everything going?
Everything's doing real good. How are you doing there?
You ready to tell everybody about precious metals tonight?
Yeah. Well, gold is continuing to slowly move its way up. It's up $1.40 today. Brought it up to $369 an ounce. Gold has moved, or silver moved up 2.5 cents to $4.43. And the Dow went down about $6 to $36.35. One thing I noticed in the last couple of days, that banks once again lowered the interest rates, which is amazing, but then again it isn't. But I believe this is the this will bring about the last big surge of money out of the banks and into the stock markets, and priming them for the tremendous loss that I think is going to take place here in the next, a few months. The stock market being at 36.35, I think you might look to see it go to 3,700, and then watch out. I think that's when you're going to start to see a major correction, and there's several analysts that will even back that up as well.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to check something here. I don't know if we're on satellite or not, because we're certainly not on WWCR. So,
you want me to hold?
Yeah, why don't you just hold for a second? Well, I don't know what's going on with the with WWCR, because we're not on the air on WWCR.
Administration.
And I don't know if we're on the air on satellite either, unfortunately. And I don't have another phone to call out, so I'm going to have to break the satellite and try this all over again. So just hold on, Gene.
No problem.
And if you are listening on satellite, don't worry. We'll be right back up. Whether we're on or not, we got to try to solve this little difficulty here. Well, according to what I just did, we're on the satellite.
Okay.
But we're not on WWCR. So I don't know what's happening. WWCR must be screwing up royally. And that really makes me angry. So I guess we'll just go on with the show. Go ahead with your report, Gene. There's a lot of people out there listening by now we're on.
We're on the satellite now?
Now we're on the satellite.
And
we've always been on the satellite. Now we're on WWCR. For all you listeners out there who wondered what happened, somebody at WWCR really seriously dropped the ball. So sounds like we are on WWCR now. Let me check just to make sure. If we are indeed on the air or not. Yes, we are.
Okay,
here we go. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, we'll start over. Gold finished up. In fact, it's slowly going, keeping its way up. It's up $1.40 today, closed at $369. Silver is up 2.5 cents, closed at $4.43. Dow is down $6, closing at $36.35.30. The banks got a message today in the news that the banks, once again, are lowering interest rates, which is believable and unbelievable. You know, they're so pitifully low, but I think it's the beginning of the last surge of money that'll come out of the banks and get poured into the stock market before they eventually pull the plug on the stock market. I think you may look to see the stock market go to 3,700, and then I think you're in trouble as far as looking for a major correction. As I said last week, I'd encourage your listeners, those that are in the stock market, which you'd be surprised the number of people that are, at least take your profits out and put them into something that's real, something that's solid. You never get hurt by taking your profits. Those of the listeners that have gotten into the Morgan market, the 67 Morgans and the 66 Peace Dollars, they're doing real well. Both of them are up about 13% in the last 2.5-3 weeks. They're going to continue to do well. If you can catch me and catch them when we got them in stock, usually when we get them, they're gone within an hour because of what's happening in that market. And again, I'll encourage those that have them, don't fall in love with them. Just we're going to use these for the short term and go back in and buy what I think is really necessary, either bullion or the low-end numismatics. And that's one of the things I wanted. People ask me, what do I do personally? And I don't sell anything that I don't buy. And so for the short term, I buy the best that I can get, and then I take the profits and I go back in and buy the best thing for me, either the bullion, silver coins, silver bullion, gold bullion, fractional gold, or low-end numismatics. Because in the long run, when this thing all collapses and the economy is in disarray, an ounce of gold could just be an ounce of gold. And so you want to get as much of it for your money.
And, of course, what you do depends upon whether you're trying to make a profit or whether you're trying to protect your assets.
Well, I'm ultimately trying to protect my assets, but I believe that we have a little bit of time here to make a profit. I can't make a profit in the bank, and I certainly don't feel safe in there, and I don't feel very safe in the stock market. And so I use owning gold right now, and the numismatic coins in particular, for the short term to make a profit, take my profits, and go back in and buy the bullion, because I want to have as much of that in my possession when this thing collapses as humanly possible.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you look at it that way. It isn't so that I go out and buy me a new Cadillac or anything. It's just so I can go and ultimately own some more gold or silver.
And remember, folks, in our media purchase, we're purchasing these stocks to own the company, not to make money and not to protect assets, but to try to save the Constitution. So
yeah.
that's a different situation.
It's a whole other ball game. And in fact, I got a couple of coins that I want to feature. In fact, I may start doing this. And this is something, because I got people that, you know, that call me that say, you know, Mr. Miller, I can't afford $1,000, can't afford $500, but I want to get something. I got something, I come up with something here that may be in their price range. I got a limited number. It's a $5 Liberty gold piece. We're discounting them down to $210 a piece. I got a limit of 100 of them. So if you're interested, give me a call. You can either call tonight at 1-800-289-2646 and just mention either the William Cooper program or mention that you want the $5 Liberty, and we'll put your name on it. But there's a limited number. I only have 100 of them total. So when they're gone, they're gone. The second coin I got is for an entirely different purpose, or a different person and a different purpose. In fact, it's only for one person, because there's only one of them in existence. It's the only one in the world, in fact, and it's an 1870 $1 gold piece, proof 65 cameo. And as I said, it's the only coin in existence. You think, well, now why in the world would anybody want to own that coin?
Why would anybody want to sell it is what I was thinking.
Well, there's always, in any market, there's always buyers and there's always sellers. It's like with the it's Gannett, right? Or Gannett?
Gannett, yeah. Or Gannett. I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
Someone told me today it was Gannett. Mm-hmm. But either way, how you pronounce it, your whole purpose in buying that stock is for what? What did we talk about today?
We're going to turn that country around, corporation around, and give the nation the real news.
Exactly, but you need to control it.
That's correct.
Exactly. And so by our people listening to the program here tonight, buying that and acquiring the majority of it, we're going to control that company. Well, this coin is the same thing. That's why anybody would buy this coin. It's to control the market. You own the only thing that's available, and when you own the only thing, you control what the value is. And so, ultimately, it'll make somebody the possibility of turning it around and making them get some money to turn back into supporting your show, buying more gold, whatever it may be. So if you're interested in that piece, give me a call. It's one of a kind. Call me tomorrow also. I got newsletters on how to stop the New World Order, your right to own gold, a Figge report. All those will make available to you. Again, my number is 1-800-289-2646. And just ask for me, and I'll help you out any way I can.
Thank you very much, Gene. And we'll see you again next Monday.
All right. Thank you.
And for those of you out of country, don't forget, you can call Gene at 602-953-6000. That's 602-953-6000. For those of you inside the continental limits of the United States, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Dear Mr. Cooper, did you hear Valentine ask if a caller, if he was the one that told him that he received the secret handshake? Tom, quote, are you the one that told Cooper that I gave you the handshake? Unquote. Just think about the real meaning of that question. If he were not a Mason, he would not have asked that question, for he would know that you had lied. Thus he hangs himself. Play that back on the radio for the clincher. It was on radio last night or night before, and this is signed, I won't give out the name, but it's from Hartford, Connecticut, and this letter is dated 10/15/93, and he says it was on the last night or night before, which would have been 10/14 or 10/13. I didn't hear it, folks. Did anybody else out there hear it? I didn't hear it. I'm just reading this letter to you. I want to apologize to everybody out there who tried to tune in the hour of the time tonight and got nothing but dead air, space, and some Spanish language and some other stuff. And we were trying to ascertain that we were indeed on the air, and we couldn't get us either. So those who didn't have much patience and went to bed or turned it off and went on about their business will probably be telling the world tomorrow that somebody blew up WWCR or that I'm dead again. I die about 3 times a year. That rumor makes the circuit, folks. So I hope everybody had patience and stayed with it. Please don't start those rumors again. I don't need it. Dear Kaji, thank you for sending me the Kaji catalog. We seem to have got off on the wrong foot. My problem with Mr. Cooper's philosophy is his interracial motives. Folks, I don't know where he got that. I don't have any interracial motives. I'm just not a racist. I have nothing against anyone because of their race. Nor do I believe that there is a superior race. So I don't have any racial motives or interracial motives. I believe in one race, the human race, and I treat all individuals, no matter who they are, as individuals. Period. He goes on to say, he must realize that only whites listen to him. Sorry, sir, but again, you're wrong. We have many American Indians, many Hispanics, many blacks, and some of you called tonight. We have a whole bunch of Asians who listen to this program. We have blacks, Asians, Hispanics, American Indians, just about every race and nationality that there is in Kaji. We have members in almost every foreign country of the world. And somebody's calling in now. If you just hang on, I'm going to put you on, but just hang on while I finish this letter. Not to mention Indians, he says. He says, blacks, Hispanics, and Asians, not to mention Indians, are content to be the wards of Washington. Boy, he's really insulting a lot of good, patriotic, upstanding Americans out there. This is a lie, folks. He says they care little for the white man's ways, his governance, and his culture. Well, I got news for you. This isn't the white man's culture. Never was. And I really don't know what this guy's... This guy really has a bee in his bonnet. He says the Constitution is a theoretical document not understandable to non-whites. That's real funny, since we got the whole idea for the layout of the Constitution and the balance of power from the Iroquois Indian nations. He goes on to say they believe that the Constitution is an entitlement like welfare, a blank check on whites. When's the last time you looked at welfare, my friend? There are more what you would probably call poor white trash on welfare than there is any other group of people. And he goes on to say, at any rate, the only operational section of the United States Constitution is the 14th Amendment, which makes the black race and all non-whites, by extension, the wards of the federal government. That's not true. It's only true if you gave up your sovereignty and became a 14th Amendment citizen of the United States government. I bet you, in your ignorance, have a Social Security card in your wallet. And he says no white may rely on the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. If that were not true, then the Los Angeles police officers, white, retried in federal jurisdiction after acquittal in state court proceedings, would have been freed. Now, you don't know that. You don't know that at all, and it's being appealed, and it may go to the Supreme Court. And if it is double jeopardy, then they will be freed. If it's not, they're going to stay in the jail. He says never has Title 18, Section 241, 242 been leveled against a non-white official for hurting a white because of racial motives, in effect denying a white his civil rights. That's not true either. Whites have brought suit for civil rights abuse and have won their cases. You, sir, are ignorant of the fact. And I mean no insults by ignorance. Ignorance means just without knowledge. He says whites in America today have no civil rights. That's not true either. I have exercised my personal civil rights, and I can assure you we do have civil rights. And you can say that I'm part American Indian, and you will be right. But no one has ever known that unless I have told them. It's published in my book. But when I go into court, I don't stand up and say, oh, I'm part American Indian. I don't do that. I don't make any reference to race at all, as a matter of fact. He says they are tax farm and cannon fodder. That is all. I beg to differ with you again. Blacks furnished their share, more than their share, of their population during the Vietnam War, of which I was, I started to say a member of. I wasn't a member of it, but I certainly fought in the Vietnam War, alongside many blacks, many Asians, many American Indians, for that matter. And one of my engineers on my patrol boat was a Hawaiian. He says, William Cooper is obliged to retrace his steps to see what America has become. It is a country run by Judeo-Freemasonic Camarilla. Freemasonic, I grant you, you're absolutely 100% right there. But Judeo, are you trying to tell me that 3.8% of the population are running the rest of us? If that's true, and we were stupid enough to let them do it, what does that say about your master race theory, my friend, when 3.8% of the population can control the rest? In the first place, it just isn't true. You look at Washington, you don't see too many Jews in high positions in Washington, D.C. They're mostly whites, my friend. He says non-whites are pawns used by Washington to diminish white or Aryan influence in academia, media, and at the polls. You're wrong. It's called socialists. And socialists come in all different colors, all different shapes, only one religion. even though they may profess other religions, socialists don't believe in anything. He says the entire immigration time bomb now ticking in America is in place to unseat the white man. You're wrong. It's not to unseat the white man. It's to destroy the traditional traditions. It's to mix everything up so that we don't have our cultural heritage, shall we say. In other words, someone who just came here from Mexico doesn't care too much about George Washington, now, do they? They learn all they can in order to get their citizenship when they're able to get their citizenship, and in most cases, they end up knowing more than most American citizens know, and that, my friend, is the truth. It says, traitorous whites and Jews are responsible, the former being Matoids, the latter just hateful, envious and covetous, the Ferengi of this planet. Now, folks, all of you out there listening, who sounds hateful, envious, and covetous? The Jews that you know, the whites that you know, are the writer of this letter. And I'll leave that up to you. He says, but I listen every night to the hour of the time. It is never really dull. And I thank you for that. And I hope that we can somehow get this burden that you're carrying off of your shoulders and make your life a little bit better. Sincerely, I won't say his name. I don't want to embarrass him. He didn't attack anybody this time. And I'm happy that he didn't. These people who attack my wife and my little child, they have no mercy on them whatsoever. And I have another letter here which really made me feel wonderful. Dear Mr. Cooper, I'm an 18-year-old high... Oh, wait a minute. We have somebody on the phone, don't we? I'm sorry for keeping you hanging there. Hello, are you there?
Yeah, William.
Hello.
Yeah, Jerry from California.
Hi, Jerry. How you doing?
Good. Listen, I just wanted to call and to inform all your listeners about that handshake that we gave...
Oh, you were one of the four...
Exactly.
You were one of the four guys that went up there all at once, and there were some guys that went later. Go ahead. Tell us what happened.
Well, what happened basically was one of the CADI members told me, which I just met that weekend for the first time, about that secret handshake. So I came up with the idea and to go up there and use it, but I wanted to put it on videotape.
Uh-huh.
But my VCR camera ran out of the power of the battery. I had none. So the other gentleman, which I don't know his name, but anyways, he had a VCR, a camcorder.
His name is Bart, and he's one of those Asians who never listened to this program.
Oh, Jesus, okay. Well, Bart had a fresh battery there. I said, listen, you make sure you get captured on film. What we ended up doing is I went up to him. I gave him a regular handshake saying how great his radio program was, what have you. And then Mark gave the handshake. I saw it. Mark saw it. We all saw it. The only problem was that I think it was my shoulder, I'm not sure, got in the way of the camera, and so we didn't get on camera.
So in the videotape, all you see is the shoulder?
I believe so.
Come on.
Bart shouldn't. Well, you know, he has the tape, so I haven't seen it.
Okay, your CADI membership is hereby suspended until you learn how to use your video camera. Just joking, of course.
Silly. So I just want to let you know that definitely did happen. Now, you know I work with a mason at work, and I gave him that handshake after I've learned this, and he was really upset. Wouldn't give it to me back. He wouldn't even look at me.
Because he knew you weren't a Freemason.
Exactly.
So he was upset that you did that, right?
Right, right.
But Tom Valentine didn't know you guys weren't Freemasons, did he?
No, not at all.
Now, when he returned the handshake, is there any possibility in your mind whatsoever that it could have been an accident?
Oh, no way. No way.
And, are you the person that called before to tell us about the handshake?
No, not at all.
Okay, I just want to make...
I'm calling you. No.
Just want to make sure that's clear in the audience's mind so they don't think that that the same guy's calling back again.
Oh, no, that's not me. The only reason why, I've missed a lot of your programming because of that wildly shortwave radio that I had before.
Uh-huh.
I finally went out and bought the big one.
Oh, so you didn't even hear him call in?
No, but I didn't hear him. Yes, I did. Like two nights ago, I got it on tape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have that on tape.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, you know, the way my radio is only like 5 days old.
Uh-huh.
So, anyways, I got that on tape. And so when I heard that, I said, jeez, so what have I been missing? So I said, I have to call in. So let the listeners know that really did happen.
Okay.
From the proof of the pudding.
Well, I thank you for that, my friend.
Okay, Bill.
And
God bless you, and have a good evening.
Thank you, and God bless you, too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for calling. Okay, let me read you this letter that really, really made me feel so good. It says, Dear Mr. Cooper, I am an 18-year-old high school senior living in Kentucky. Perhaps around June I started listening to The Hour of the Time and various other programs on WWCR. Gradually, though, I began to see that you were the only one willing to present a solution to the problems. Yes, I know that I should always be wary, but I have tremendous faith in you and the fellow listeners. The stock market idea seems very promising. I cut lawns in the summer to earn money, and as soon as a particular stock is decided upon, I'm going to buy in. Well, you can start buying. The stock is Gannett Company, Incorporated. The New York Stock Exchange symbol is GCI. GCI. And I didn't get to check the close today, but I checked it this morning, and it had dropped. So some people, if you got in and got your stock this morning, you got a better deal than you would have yesterday. He says, I cut lawns in the summer to earn money, and as soon as a particular stock is decided upon, I am going to buy in. This is one idea that my parents will allow me to be a part of without hassle. I wasn't able to make it to Project 93, unfortunately, mainly due to the distance, date, and my mom. Oh, I remember those days well. And quite frankly, would just love to go through them again. I have read Byron Dale's literature, and the simple language makes it easy to understand for anyone. I really appreciate your true honesty and sincerity. I purchased the Linda Thompson Waco video, and I am starting to show it to my friends, telling them that it is an alternative viewpoint. This is a way to counter their doubts. I do believe that it is true in content, and hopefully I will learn even more than what is presented on that tape. There is much resistance from the people around me to new views. I guess I can see where they're coming from. I, too, evolved with cartoons, grooved with the Bradys, listened to AM talk radio, stuck with CNN, and overall believed that I was actually learning something by hearing that jibber-jabber. I pray that I'll be wise enough from this point on to sift through the mound of confusing information. I hope you and your new assistant, Carolyn, well, Carolyn's sitting right here, and she nodded her head. Thank you. I hope you and your new assistant are doing well. Enclosed, you will find a donation, which I plan to send you regularly. Well, we certainly appreciate that. We don't get too many of those, and we cherish every single one, believe me. I'll be going off to an engineering college next summer, and I'll probably have just enough money to hear the show and correspond with a 2-cent stamp, that is. Please keep up the great work. In spirit, Patrick. P.S. Could you please send an information packet about Kaji tape list, etc. to the above address? It will be out to you tomorrow. Patrick. And Patrick, my friend, thank you so much for that heartwarming letter. Believe me, it is greatly appreciated by all of us here. We go to the phones once again. I believe there's someone waiting. Good evening.
Yeah, Mark from Minneapolis.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'd like to know why you're trying to embarrass yourself, trying to discredit Mr. Tom Valentine. I'm
not trying to discredit anyone. What makes you think I am?
Oh, you're saying he's doing the secret handshake, Freemason handshake, and he already said, Tom Valentine's already said that he's just a big joke.
No, it's not a big joke.
Right.
Four people were there. He was given the handshake that day by five different people. He returned every one of them. Not trying to discredit anyone. We are telling the truth.
Have you ever seen him go into a Freemason church or have any proof that
he's... Have you ever seen him?
Have you?
Have you ever met him?
No, I...
Do you know anything about him?
I listen
to... Have you ever read any of his books?
No.
Good night, sheeple. Go read his books, do the study that we have done, and don't make an ass out of yourself when you call this show, because we will certainly pin you with it. Okay, folks, I will be at UFO Expo West, October 29th through the 31st, at the Dunphy Hotel in San Mateo, California. If you would like information, call area code 415-905-8874. That's 415-905-8874. I will be lecturing on Sunday, October the 31st at 12:30 p.m. And there will be a workshop Sunday afternoon at 3:30 on October the 31st also. Now, of course, I'll be there Friday through Sunday, and we'll have a booth. Tapes of the hour of the time will be available. We'll have a discounted, we'll discount the entire set of Mystery School tapes for those of you who are interested in purchasing an entire set while you're there. And I'll also be in Atlanta, Georgia, November the 14th, speaking at the Chamblee Community Center. And the number to call there for information is 404-986-0802. That's 404-986-0802. Good evening. You're on the air. Some of our people out there are really on the ball. Did you hear that, folks? Some caller gave him one of the passwords that identifies a Freemason, and Tom Valentine replied to it. Now, I didn't put the guy up to that. I don't even know who did it. I don't even know if it's a guy. I had no idea who was on the end of that telephone. Doesn't, but I'll tell you, that was a pleasant surprise. Whoever you did, bravo, whoever did that. Bravo for you, my friend. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi, this is Chris from Colorado.
Hi, Chris.
We've spoken before, and I heard your show with Travis Walton sometime back. I guess it was midsummer or something.
Yeah, I went up to his hometown, and we sat in a park, and I interviewed him for an hour.
I've got a real important question to ask you.
Sure.
I have Travis's original book, which he wrote about his experience right after it happened. I saw Fire in the Sky, the movie.
Movie's pure fabrication.
It's very interesting because having seen the movie, I then reread the book. Certain points agree, certain points disagree, but the basic sequence within the UFO is entirely 100% different than everything
that's right.
Travis Walton had to say.
That's correct.
I can't remember back to exactly what your interview with him concerned in that area. What is his opinion on what happened with the movie? Did he have any involvement in it? And what where is this big difference in the presentation?
What do you mean, where's the big difference? If you read the book and you saw the movie, you know where the difference is.
Exactly. How did this happen? Did he have any control over the movie at all?
Nobody has control over the movies, my friend. I lived in Southern California. A lot of people came to my house wanting to do movies on my life story. And one guy came and offered me $1 for my life story. And I got to know a lot of these people. I got mixed up with Michael Callan, who just literally cleaned us out. I mean, when he got through with us, we were literally in the ditch with absolutely nothing. We were lucky to have underwear and clothes that we wore.
You're talking about the actor Michael Callan?
Yes, absolutely.
That's what you're talking about.
That's who I'm talking about, yeah.
Now,
I don't know what happened. I don't know. I don't believe that that he had any control over the movie whatsoever, and I don't think that anybody ever does. And I've never seen a movie in my life that was true to life, even when it was portrayed as a true story. They always take great liberties with the story.
They took more than liberties with this, and I think the thing that's fascinating to me, having watched this and also seen the movie of the book Communion, there is a similarity between the two of them, and probably you've seen both, and maybe you'll catch on this. Interestingly enough, it seems like both movies want to, in some way, indicate that the extraterrestrials that have the, I guess, the long almond-shaped silver heads with the large eyes are not what they appear to be. Now, in the movie Communion, there was a scene in which one of the ETs removed, in essence, a costume, and was a serpent underneath it.
Yeah.
And again, in the Travis Walton movie, there's the scene where he encounters this room full of, shall we say, spacesuits.
Yeah, that look just exactly like these beings.
Exactly.
Now,
in each case,
what they're doing, I'll tell you what they're doing, they're laughing at us.
Yeah.
They're laughing at us. They're giving us all the hints and clues, and you watch all these little ufologists running around the world saying that the aliens are here, the aliens are here. they're telling us the truth in the movie that they're not really aliens.
Uh-huh.
And when the alien pulls off his thing and there's a serpent there, or a lizard man or something, that's the ancient symbol of wisdom. That's the secret society's talking to you. And they're laughing at all of us. They think we're stupid cattle, just like Oliver Stone laughed at us when he made JFK
right.
and then asked the question, who killed Kennedy, and then answered it with,
right.
in the next scene.
Very snake from the garden.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's incredible to me the similarity and between what they're doing in these movies. And it's not entirely, shall we say, well hidden. It's becoming very much more evident. I pick up the paper today, for instance, and I'm going to shift subjects on you, but I think the transition will be smooth. They're talking about this new comet that's going to slam into Jupiter.
Oh, yeah.
I know what that is.
Sure. They want to take attention away from the Galileo spacecraft, and if something happens to Jupiter, they'll blame it on these comets.
Yeah. This is the same comet that's slamming into Jupiter. They know exactly the day, the hour, etc., and yet they cannot tell us with any certainty when Halley's Comet returns to Earth or exactly what the strength of the Perseid meteor shower is in association with Swift Tuttle comet.
Yeah, it's all bullshit.
Yeah. They can't predict the comets that come close to Earth, but they can predict within the hour and the minute comets that will hit Jupiter.
It's all bullshit. You see, I've exposed their whole purpose for that thing, and now they're trying to cover it up so everybody will believe their scam when they see the light in the sky and say Lucifer's return to rule the heavens.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
It is incredible. And by the way, your choice of Gannett, that is the way it's pronounced as far as the company.
Uh-huh.
Spot on the money. A very good choice. I'll certainly be investigating that, and you know, we'll be in touch as far as proxy signatures, etc.
You have no idea how much research went into that choice by not just me, but a lot of people.
Well, it's a good, credible choice, and I was really worried initially that you would, go with perhaps Post and the Inquirer, that sort of thing. I think you're getting a lot more credibility with Gannett.
Well, the credibility wasn't what we were worried about. We could establish our credibility in a short period of time. It was what was the best for our money and what was realistic.
And exposure is going to be great with them.
Yeah, and we really seriously were looking at the Inquirer Star Group. The reason that we didn't get it is because they're on the verge of bankruptcy. Literally. Literally on the line. And if we bought a company... And then found out that we were bankrupt, a lot of people would have ate a lot of money, and I didn't want to do that to anybody.
Well, I can tell you, living in Colorado as I do, we have a Gannett station here at Channel 9 in Denver.
Uh-huh.
They're very high profile, and any of their stations, be it Atlanta or anywhere else, are very high profile. And you talk about USA Today, things like that.
Yeah.
This is a very, very good forum. It's a cogent decision on your part. I really applaud that.
Well, thank you.
All right.
And I hope people went out and bought that stock today. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Keep up the good work, please.
Now, remember, folks, I told you not too long ago that food prices were going to rise. They're already rising. And we have contracted to provide storage-type food, ready-reserve food, that will last in excess of 5 years. Some of it will last 10 years on the shelf. Pinto beans, just in the last couple of weeks, actually in the last few days, went from $28 per hundredweight to $40.32 per hundredweight, and that's wholesale prices. One case of number 10 cans of corn went from $15.90 to $22.10. These are wholesale prices, folks. A case of number 10 cans of peas went from $16 to $21.15. So we're locking in some prices for a short period of time, but we can't keep the prices low for too long. Now, let me give you some indication of what we got here for everybody. We have a family unit, which is 1 year's supply of food for a family of four. 1 year's supply of food for a family of four, or 2 years' supply for a family of two. It contains 36 cases of number 10 cans, totaling 216 cans in a sprouting unit, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And let me see. We're able to give huge discounts because I got a really deal. You see, the people who we're working with are patriots also who listen to this program. When they found out that I was looking for something like this, they gave us a deal that we couldn't turn down. And this is fantastic stuff. It's a total weight of 1,078 pounds of food. Folks, 1,078 pounds will feed a family of four for 1 year, or a family of two for 2 years. The retail price on this unit, which is cheaper than all of the other people that we've looked at, the retail price is $2,768. We're coming up with discounts for everybody, but I'll tell you right off the bat, CAGI members on this package right here will get an excess of $500 discount. So, and non-CAGI members will get a discount too, but you'll never get as much as CAGI members do. CAGI members are the backbone of this program. They're the backbone of the flow of information into our research. So we always give them the best. We have a security unit, which is a 2-year supply for one person or a 1-year supply for two people. And, wow, I could go on and on. We have a modular unit, 1-year supply for one person or 6 months for two people, an emergency unit, which is 1 month supply for one person. We have a 3-day supply for four people or 10 days for one person, a 6-day supply for four people or 10 days for two people. We have a sample case so you can check out and, you know, just check it out and see if you like it. Got all kinds of stuff. We got all kinds of survival stuff. We got an earthquake kit for people who live in earthquake areas. It has a portable water filter, container of water purification tablets, 5-gallon water containers, first aid kit, sewing kit, emergency blankets, portable stove, packages of stable fuel tablets, boxes of water-resistant matches, cooking kit, eating utensil sets, 50-hour safety candles. Each candle will last and burn for 50 hours and not only be able to cook on it, but it will supply heat and light. A whistle, measuring cup, a can opener, 12 cans of dehydrated food with an extended shelf life of 10 to 15 years, an emergency flashlight, etc. We have a package of seeds, and these seeds have proven to be the best. And one can plants a garden plot 65 feet by 124 feet. Includes Jubilee sweet corn, Blue Lake snap beans, Wando garden peas, Detroit dark red beets, Copenhagen market cabbage, Hale's best cantaloupe, red cord Chantenay carrots, Armenian cucumbers, black seeded Simpson lettuce, sweet Spanish onion, Jupiter bell pepper, butternut winter squash, zucchini summer squash, Bloomsdale longstanding spinach, Rutgers tomato, broccoli, and sugar baby watermelon. What else have we got here? Well, we got if you're interested, folks, send us a large, a large manila envelope, with, I don't know what the package of information is going to cost us to mail, but send us one of those, large, like 9 or 10 by 9 envelopes, or excuse me, 12 by 9 envelopes, 12 by 9 manila envelope. With 2 29-cent stamps on it, and we'll see if that works for the postage, and if it does, no problem. So if you'd like to get information on the food supplies that we have available, we'll send you a whole packet of information on it. You can make your choice, whatever, order it through us and get your discounts. You'll be helping us do our research. We'll be helping you get your supply of emergency food and preparedness supplies. I have a whole bunch of preparedness supplies that you won't believe at wonderful prices. So send us that big 9 by 12 manila envelope with 2 29-cent stamps on it. Specify that you want the food storage information, and we'll get it right out to you. Let's go to the phones. Is there somebody there now?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Sorry to keep you waiting so long.
That's okay. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening.
This is Steve calling from Rhode Island.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. I was wondering if you could elaborate or comment on something you just mentioned briefly at the beginning of the program, and it's something I've been wondering about. How does one go about getting out of or removing oneself from the Social Security system?
I'd like
to know that.
That takes a long, long explanation. And what you need to do is get hooked up with somebody who studied constitutional law or any of these state citizens groups or sovereignty groups. I haven't seen one yet that was bad. The difference is what it's going to cost you, and that's what you need to shop around for the group that will teach you for the least amount of money. There's no way I can explain it to you on here. But to get out of the system, it involves more than just rescinding your Social Security number.
The same hold true for a child?
Yeah, I don't have any problem because my child, we refused to even fill out the birth certificate.
Right. I mean, it's as elaborate or as complicated even for a child who hasn't had it for, less than a year, what they'll say.
Well, you still have to go through the process, and you need somebody who specializes in teaching this.
Okay. I wanted to ask you also about last night's program. Was that the script, we'll call it, did you write that? Was that what you were reading? Did you prepare it and you were reading it from your own writings? I realize they were quotes from other sources, but I was just curious.
Part of it is from The Cult of the All-Seeing Eye by Robert Keith Spencer, and the rest of it is from me.
Okay. And I just want to mention something for whatever it's worth. I was watching I just happened to catch briefly a program on public TV in this area, and it was one of those programs that can be used as part of a credit for a college course, and it was an economics program, and they were talking about the Federal Reserve and so forth and things like that, and the history of money and American depression. Anyway, at the end of the program, I noticed it was sponsored by a company or the endowment, whatever, the Annenberg CTB Group.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed the symbol, it just struck me odd, and when I thought about it, what it was, if you take a truncated triangle and then divide it into three sections and sort of spread them apart,
yeah,
that was the symbol.
Sure. If you follow them around, you'll follow them to a Masonic temple.
Yeah.
Also, the Trinity Broadcast Network, if you look at their symbolism, the cross stuck through a crown is the Templar Order.
Oh, right. Oh, speaking of that, I do have a copy of something that came into my possession that I'll be sending you. I made a copy of it, I should say, and it is someone's membership certificate in the Knights Templars in the United States.
Oh, fantastic.
25 years old.
Great.
I'm basically sending it to you for the symbolism that surrounds it. You might be able to make,
wonderful.
Something out of it that I can't.
All of you are wondering about aliens from other planets? Nope, folks. The aliens are the members of the secret societies who consider themselves citizens of a world government, their world government, which we are not a part of. And they consider themselves to be alien to the rest of us, and they recognize no government save theirs. And I exposed that right here on this program one night, if you were listening carefully. They are the aliens. Go get that book called They Live. I mean, not book, a movie called They Live from your local video rental, and watch it. And remember, they're not from another planet. They're from right here.
The word touchstone, what does that signify?
Oh, the touchstone is Disney Pictures, but the touchstone has a lot of significance. In fact, I talked a little bit about it last night.
I know you mentioned the lodestone.
Yeah, I also mentioned the touchstone.
I'll have to re-listen to the tape.
Yeah.
Okay, I won't keep you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
All right, good night, Tom.
Good night. Okay, the number is 602-333-2174. I'd like to hear from someone to purchase some stock today. If there's anybody out there that did it, are y'all blowing smoke at me, or did somebody buy stock? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. I didn't buy any stocks today, but
why not?
Well, I'm planning on it.
Okay.
But what I wanted to talk about is the Mystery Babylon series.
Uh huh.
And in my research, I just want to know what you think about this. This is a touchy topic for many people, but in my research, I see a lot of this going back to the Vatican, with the Illuminati being started by the Jesuit priest, and
nope.
A lot of these secret organizations started during the medieval period, during the Reformation.
The Illuminati existed long before the Jesuits were ever organized, but the Jesuits are a branch of the Illuminati. You are correct in that. And the Vatican plays a major role in what's happening in the world today. They are, in fact, the ancient pagan religion of Rome. They just changed the designation of emperor to pope, and the pantheon of gods became the pantheon of saints. The goddess became Mary. You go back into history, before Christ was even born, you'll see all of this was played out many, many times before.
Yeah, have you ever heard of Alberto Rivera?
Yes, I have. I've tried to get him on this program many times. I cannot get any response from those people whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know, tells me something. I don't know what it tells you, but when somebody's afraid to come on this show and we're looking for the truth, maybe they're hiding something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but that's the way things usually turn out.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good night. 602-333-2174. I hope there's somebody out there that's going to call in before this program's over and tell us that they bought some stock today and how they feel about it and the whole works. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. This is Scott from California.
Hi, Scott. Did you buy stock today?
No, I didn't.
Scott, why are you calling? I want to hear from somebody who bought stock today. I've only got 10, actually less than that, maybe 7 minutes left in the show. Do you mind if we hang up and see if there's somebody out there who bought some stock today?
No, that's okay. I'll call back later.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. I want to hear from somebody who bought some stock today. If nobody bought any stock today, we may just be playing with ourselves. What do you think, folks? Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Nobody there. Okay, we'll try it again. 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I bought stock.
Wonderful. Oh, there's the little child again. Is that Gene Wheaton? Or was that Steve? Which one of you little children was it? We're going to send somebody over tomorrow to change your diapers and put you to bed where you belong. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hello.
Hi, this is Darlene from Fairmont, Minnesota.
Hi, Darlene.
Hi. I've been trying to get a hold of Mr. Cooper. I've lost track of him a few years ago, and I'm just really excited to hear him after I heard Tom Valentine tonight. And I'm just... very interested in his recent audio tapes on quite a few of us are.
Well, Darlene, I'm trying to get somebody to call in now who bought some stock today. We're trying to buy out a major media corporation to help turn this country around. Do you mind if you can call me after the show goes off the air?
Oh, yes. You have the same number?
Yeah, I'd love to talk to you.
Oh, I would too. What time?
Just call me right after the show. I got to let you go now, okay? We're running out of time.
Thank you.
Okay, I still want to hear from somebody who bought stock today, and I don't want to hear from any little children with a full load in their diapers. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi. Hello? I bought stock today.
Wonderful. Turn your radio off.
Yep.
Okay. Tell us about it.
I bought 10 shares of stock first thing this morning, about 9:30.
What price did you get?
He quoted that it was on a computer at 51 5/8, which I believe was the same that you had quoted that's what it was selling for yesterday.
Yeah, you got it.
In addition to that, I wrote a letter to the broker and told him that I wanted all the certificates and all the proxies and dividends sent to my home as you advised. I think it's a reasonable stock. It pays, I think, $1.32 dividend. However, I did not get the sheet on it. Usually the broker sends me a sheet on it to describe, basically the background of the company, its earnings. I think its ratio listed in the paper today was 20 to 1, I think. It's profit to earnings or earnings. What is it?
That's real good.
So I don't know, but I really didn't research the stock, so I hope you selected a good stock for us.
Well, they own a whole bunch of radio stations, both AM and FM, and television stations, and a whole big long string of newspapers. So if we can pull this off, if we can get enough people involved, we can really do something really good. Everybody sits around complaining and bitching and griping, and nobody ever does anything. We're doing something. How'd you feel about this morning?
Well, I had no doubts about it because I've been following you for the past 4 months, and I see nothing wrong with it. I buy stock. The only thing is, 10 shares of stock is not a lot. You should usually buy it in units of 100.
Yeah.
But, I didn't have that kind of money laying around on short notice. So I see nothing. I don't feel uncomfortable about it. The only thing is, I did not research the stock, and I've never purchased any kind of media stock, and I'm just going on your, you're a trustworthy person, and we all trust you out here. You're the only guy telling the truth on the air, so I hope that you selected a reasonable stock for us.
Well,
as long as it earns $1.32 dividend, that's not too bad. I mean, it's not Exxon. It's still a $50 stock, though, to me, is a pretty, a reasonably high price stock.
Well, it is, but we're getting a very good company. We did a lot of research on this, and I want to thank you for the
Well, problem. Yeah, I do not believe it to be a garbage stock, and I believe it to be a stock that has potential, but I don't know, the indebtedness ratio of the company. But apparently, if they're paying a dividend, they must be on pretty firm ground.
Yeah, they are. They're on a really good firm ground, and the stock is available. Now, you made sure that you told your broker you only wanted voting shares, right?
let me see. I told him, I may have slipped up on that.
You got it.
I did not. I just told him that I wanted the certificate sent to the home with all dividends and proxy statements. Do you mean to say that there's more than one type? Is there preferred?
Yeah, there's more than one type of share, and you want to make sure that you're buying shares that we can vote at stockholders' meetings. Some shares have no vote attached to them.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Tomorrow morning, call your broker.
I may have erred because I was on my way to New York today, and I had to leave early, and I had a million things to do, and I quickly called them, and I quickly wrote a letter out early this morning and sent it out to them. I'll see if I can correct that tomorrow.
Okay. That's why last night, folks, I was really adamant about making sure that you understood that you've got to specify that you want to purchase voting shares. Thank you for calling.
All right, Bill. Good luck. Keep the door up.
Thank you very much. Remember, folks, we're not buying this to make any money, but I can guarantee you if we get enough Americans interested in this, the stock will go up and you will make money because when there's a demand for stock, the stock goes up. That's how our market works. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes.
Turn off your radio.
Okay. You're only talking to people about buying stocks. Could you elaborate a little bit more? I didn't catch your show because I couldn't get it yesterday. The weather was bad over here.
It's not just yesterday. We've been talking about this for
it's been pretty bad.
Quite a while.
For a while, yeah. I'm calling from Gulf Coast, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And we just seems like come close to your time to come on, and the radio just goes out.
Well, you got in a little bit late, and if I said I only wanted to talk to people that bought stocks, why would you call if you didn't buy stocks?
Well, I want to find out more information about it before I can go out and buy stocks.
Okay. What we're trying to do is buy a major media corporation because we've been bombarded with lies and propaganda and violence and trash and crap that we're all sick of. So we want to buy a major media corporation so that we can change the policy of that corporation and give the truth to the American people without this liberal political correctness slanted bullshit that journalists are shoving in our face, and get the truth out there.
Okay, I can see where that plan's going. That sounds like an excellent plan. And forgive me for asking this question, but I heard you say something about Garnet stock.
Gannett. New York Stock Exchange's symbol is GCI.
GCI.
Yeah, and I don't know what it closed at today, but it was 5:51 and something yesterday. I got to go now. We're out of time. Thank you for calling. That's it, folks. Good night, and God bless you all. Feed one person for 1 year, folks, usually costs $6,000. Think about that.